Radio Boston, I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
It is now the great pleasure of the chair to invite to the rostrum His Excellency Deval Patrick, Governor of the Commonwealth, for the purposes of the administration of the oath of office.
Pomp and ceremony on Beacon Hill today as Deval Patrick becomes the first African-American in U.S. history to be twice inaugurated as governor. The event is notable for another first. It's the first time in the Commonwealth's history that the oath of office was administered by a woman, Senate President Therese Murray.
I, Deval Patrick,
do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
The main event of the day, though, was the governor's inaugural address. In it, he laid out his agenda for the coming legislative session. And joining us now with more from Beacon Hill is WBUR Statehouse reporter Steve Brown. Hello there, Steve.
Hi, Meghna.
So before we get to the actual meat of the governor's address, what was the mood in the House chamber today?
Well, it was an obvious receptive crowd. Now, keep in mind, it's not just lawmakers that are in the chamber when the speech is given. The gallery was full of Deval Patrick supporters. As a matter of fact, the entire Statehouse is full of Patrick supporters. There's been a big reception going on all afternoon. Just a little while ago, I heard the band finally stop playing. House and Senate leaders were supportive, but generally noncommittal at this point. And Republican leaders said that the governor didn't seem to acknowledge the pain and sacrifices that taxpayers are experiencing right now. But overall, the reception was a good one.
And that pain and sacrifice is amongst the governor's biggest challenges in his second term. I mean, there's that $1.8 billion budget deficit in a very weak economy. I mean, did he talk about that?
He didn't speak directly to the state budget deficit. Earlier this week, he said he's going to have to slash $1.5 billion in state spending, but there was no mention of that in today's speech. He did talk about the accomplishments over the past few years. He said, while things aren't great economically, we're holding our own here in Massachusetts.
That's why we are creating jobs faster than most other states, why our unemployment rate is well below the national average, why we're coming out of recession faster than the rest of the country, and why CNBC has moved our state up to fifth best place in America to do business today. That's why. That's why we won the national Race to the Top competition and why we will be home to America's first offshore wind farm. That's also why the Cori system finally got fixed and why veterans... and why veterans serving in Iraq, Afghanistan, and all around the world know that we will look after their families when they are away and help them when they come home.
And Steve, we've read and heard in recent days that Governor Patrick's also been saying that he's going to try to do a lot to help Massachusetts by actually spending a lot of time outside of Massachusetts. What did he say about that?
He did mention that. Of course, as you mentioned, that came out earlier this week during several of the media interviews that he had granted. And he was criticized afterwards because some of that travel will be to promote his upcoming book. Now, he didn't mention the book tour, but he did say he's going out on the road to tout the business climate here in Massachusetts with the main goal to create new jobs.
And as more and more Massachusetts companies compete nationally and internationally for sales, jobs, investors, and talent, we must answer their call by helping to promote the attractions of doing business and creating jobs right here in the Commonwealth. And so expect me to lead more trade missions here in the States and abroad. To lobby hard for our interests in Washington and elsewhere, to be your jobs advocate.
Steve, I mean, back here on Beacon Hill, the governor's relationship with House Speaker Robert DeLeo and Senate President Therese Murray in the last legislative session really had its ups and downs, I mean, most notably over the big debate over expanded gambling. The casino bill actually died because of the differences between Beacon Hill leadership. So did Governor Patrick today extend any kind of open hand to the legislature?
Well, his speech contained an obligatory nod to the legislature for their role in what the governor has identified as successes over the past 4 years. As you mentioned, on some issues, the relationship between the governor and the legislature has been somewhat rocky. Others, they seem to get along genuinely okay. He did strike a conciliatory tone when he said, now is the time to fix what's broken.
To meet these responsibilities, I challenge us all to turn to each other, not on each other. Let us bring our passion not to scoring political points, but to finding real solutions. Let us bear our generational responsibility together.
And finally, Steve, did Governor Patrick announce any major legislative initiatives today?
He did. It was the most specific part of the address. He said he's filing legislation to address health care costs. He wants payment reform and simplification, something that Senate President Therese Murray supports. Of course, we're fortunate to have an expert on health care on our staff, our colleague Martha Biebinger, and I know you'll be speaking with her about what this means in just a moment.
WBUR State House reporter Steve Brown, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And as Steve just mentioned, Governor Patrick did put health care at the top of his legislative calendar for 2011.
And it means that we must change the way we pay for health care. So we will file legislation in the coming weeks to address health care costs, including significant payment reform and simplification. This will be a challenge. There will be great debate and resistance to change. But working families, small and large businesses alike, and governments too, need a solution. And they need it now.
WBUR's Martha Biebinger is here to explain what the governor was talking about. Hi there, Martha.
Hi, Meghna.
So when the governor says, quote, we must change the way we pay for health care, what exactly does he mean?
He means, Meghna, that we need to put health care on a budget. So right now, doctors and hospitals send insurers bills for every office visit or MRI or treatment we receive. And for the most part, there are no rules about what they charge or how often they submit those bills. A bill that the governor plans to file would require that most doctors and providers move to taking care of patients under a budget. So you're Dr. Meghna, working as part of a group of doctors, which might mean joining a network. There's lots of steps involved here. Would have a set amount of money to spend for all its, say, Tufts Health Plan members, and they'll have to manage that budget. And that means instead of automatically ordering an MRI, the doctor has to decide whether that somewhat expensive test makes sense.
Well, so instead of automatically making that order, I mean, wouldn't they hold off on ordering tests and procedures? I mean, the expensive ones and maybe sometimes ones that patients think they need.
Right. So that's what happened when we were operating under a budget in the 90s. We were holding down healthcare spending, but there was a lot of frustration over how that worked. The problem is that sometimes that's the right thing to do and sometimes it's not. The difference now is that when it's the wrong thing to do, the doctor's going to be accountable because physicians will only get to keep a share of the savings if they go under budget. They'll only get to keep their share of the savings if they can prove using national standards that their patients are doing well and that you and I are satisfied with our care.
So this could be a major change in the way healthcare is paid for in Massachusetts. So why do you think the governor is going after this right at the beginning of the year?
There's huge frustration about rising health care costs and the sense that they're crippling the state budget, his ability to have any money to spend. Schools are crying about this. Some family budgets. Employers say the money they'd use for raises or to hire new workers is going instead to increasing health care premiums. So there's a sense that something has to be done quickly on this issue.
And speaking of quickly, can we expect this legislation to be on a fast track?
Well, going out on a limb, I'd have to say no. The governor is expected to file this bill on his own. He doesn't have legislative partners. Nobody is filing it with him. And one of the reasons is what the bill will do is create this oversight commission that'll make some very tough decisions about what does it mean to operate under global payments. And there's disagreement about how much who's going to be on that commission. How much authority would it have? What would they have authority to do? So even if this was on the fast track, creating all those steps that we have just talked about could take at least 18 months. Now, that said, the legislative friction that may be here and the dilemmas of how to put it all together, the governor does still want, his administration does still want the state to move to global payments within 5 years.
Wow. WBUR's Martha Biebinger, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, stay with us because coming up after the break, what if you could buy auto insurance by the mile instead of by the month or the year? It's called Pay As You Drive, and the state hopes it will reduce driving accidents and greenhouse gas emissions. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.